What's good, radio family? It's your boy, The Psalmist Voice, and you are listening to KBRG The Bridge. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, are you ready?
This is Sterling Roberts, and you are listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go!
That's right, family and friends. It is the hottest radio network on the planet. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network has an all-star lineup just for you. TPV Reloaded, Sunday at 4 p.m., Wednesday and Friday at 11 a.m. The Caribbean Pepper Pot, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. The Grub, Monday at 12 p.m. Brother Don Presents, Saturday at 4 p.m. Man, Let's Pop at 6 p.m. every first Monday of the month. It is The Love Potion at 8 p.m. every second and fourth Thursday. TPV Wired Up, first and third Saturday at 8 p.m. TPV Presents by appointment only. You can also catch us on KBRG The Bridge or download Live 365. Walk with us. Let's go.
At Majal's Products, we care for a better you with our handmade natural ingredients to give you healthier skin, body, and stronger hair. Like our face, foot, hair, and body care products. To order yours today, please visit our website at www.majalsproducts.com or on Facebook at Majal's Products. Get yours today and get your faster results without breaking the bank.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill, and this is your Minute That Matters. The Bible declares that all that live godly are going to suffer persecution. Even Paul warned us that when trials come our way, we shouldn't think that it's strange or weird or odd, because that's part of a life that we live as a Christian. The enemy is going to attack us. And when the enemy attacks us, we need to remember that he's attacking us because he's afraid of what we can do for God, and he's afraid of what God will do for us. We put our trust, our hope, and our faith in God. If you feel severely attacked lately, it's because God is up to something and the devil is trying to stop it. So don't allow the attack of the enemy to cause you to be discouraged. Allow it to cause you to be encouraged, knowing that God is up to something good and will provide a way of victory for you in your life. I'm Pastor Bill. This is your Minute That Matters.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go. It is now time for Brother Don Presents and Pastor Gene Homer.
Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody.
What's good, radio family? This is Brother Don from Brother Don Presents with Pastor Gene Homer. We're coming to you again. We're glad you're here. We're glad you tuned in. We've got some exciting, exciting things to do, you know, family, because God is being so awesome in this season. He is really blessing. He's imparting. There's so much going on spiritually, and we're just excited and glad to be a part of it and to have you here so you can be a part of it too. But I'm just overexcited, family, as always, being before you, you know, coming, you know, because I consider you family. We've been on Brother Don Presents for a few months now, and we've been ministering the Word of God, so I feel like I know you, and I love you, and I do want to, and you'll hear me throughout the program. Me and Pastor Gene talked about this on offline. We would love for your input, your calls, you know, messages, anything that you want to contribute, ask, please feel free to do so, because we really want to hear you, because it's about Jesus and it's about you too. As we minister the word of Jesus, you know, we want to hear you. We just don't want to always be the ones talking and preaching and teaching. You know, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to get your input. Excuse me, family. Get your input with things. But let me give my shout-outs. First and foremost, I want to give my shout-out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, I would be nothing. Without him, this show wouldn't be possible. TPV Ministries wouldn't be possible. KBRG Ministry wouldn't be possible. Nothing would be possible without Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He died to pay the price that we can do what we do. And I want to give a shout-out to my amazing, wonderful, beautiful wife. She has truly been a blessing to me, and I just thank God for her just encouraging me, holding me up. You know, because I'm going to tell you, man, it's tough sometimes. It's really tough. And to have your wife there by your side, help you girding up to make it through that day and on to tomorrow is a beautiful thing. But it is our responsibility that we have to honor them and teach them as well. And we'll, that's another show. We'll get into that. But I want to give TPV a shout-out, Pastor Chris and First Lady Shanice, for allowing Brother Don and Pastor Gene to be part of the family, the ministering team, and we're just excited for what God is doing. You can already hear and see what God is doing with the new website and the commercials now. That was awesome, Pastor. I enjoyed that, the new commercials. So God is really doing some things. And KBRG The Bridge, I want to give a shout-out to Pastor, Bishop Willie Warren, and KBRG and First Lady Wendy out there in California for them supporting Brother Don Presents and TPV Ministries and their programming. And we just thank God for them. I want to give a shout-out to my children. Daddy loves you. Ashley, Josh, Tyler, Steiner, Ariana, Andrea, Daddy loves you. But I want to give a special shout-out today, family, to my Men of Purpose Fellowship Discipleship brothers. We had an awesome time in the Lord. I thank God for each and every one of you. And I continue, and I pray that God continues to uplift and bring us together, because we had an exciting, awesome time, family. And it was just really beautiful, honey. If there are any men out there that would like to be part of Men of Purpose, just leave a thing on the website for Pastor Chris, and he'll forward it to me. And it's really an awesome time. It's really an awesome time. So I'm all shouted out right now, Pastor Gene. You got anything you'd like to put out there?
I sure do. I'd like to just give a shout-out to the today to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for who he is in my life and for what he's done. I'd like to also give a shout-out to him for blessing me with my family, my husband, my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Just grateful to him for what he's doing in all of our lives and the call of God that he has manifested in each and every one of them. And also to Pastor Chris and Sister Shanice, just thanking God, letting them know that I am grateful for having them in my life and so grateful for what God is doing for them in this ministry. And that's it, brother.
Amen. Amen. Amen, family. Well, family, here we are again. We've been talking about the sovereignty of God. We've been discussing the sovereign God. And I was just sitting here trying to think, Pastor Gene, when did we start this? It's been about about a month ago now, hasn't it?
It seems a bit longer, but I know a good month for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking, family. And the only reason I was just thinking, family, about this is because it is such a rich, rich topic. It's such a rich, rich lesson because, you know, myself and Pastor Gene, we talk offline quite a bit, and we whenever we get together, we always discuss about how the lesson has enriched us spiritually, how it has helped us, how it has helped our revelation on things pertaining to our spiritual life and our walk and our faith. And, I mean, we've learned so much about God and His sovereignty through this lesson. And it was really something when we first dove into this, we didn't know how long or how far it was going to take us. We had no clue, but God is really, really opening some things in us, and I hope He's opening some things in you. And that's why, then again, it's really important that, you know, call in. The number's out there on the website. You can call in or leave messages on the website. So, you know, we want to hear you. We want to hear how this lesson has enriched you. Because it is. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful message. And I know for myself, and I believe I can speak for Pastor Gene, that once you start experiencing this, once you learn it, it'll change a lot in the way you approach things from a spiritual perspective. A lot of things. The number that you can call in is 619. I was looking for a family. I'm sorry. I found it. 619-924-0679. That's 619-924-0679. And you know, it's not only, and I hope I can speak for Pastor Chris in this show, not just up here at Brother Don Presents, but I'm sure he would love to hear you as well in some of the messages, the powerful messages that he has been bringing for. Well, Pastor Gene, I want to dig into this because, you know, we've been learning so much about God and His sovereignty. We learned that He is love, and that His being, that what generates Him being sovereign. And, you know, we had established once you take time to understand, it's not anything that we do, but it is who He is, that His love is there for us. Because if it was based on a merit basis or anything like that, we would probably fall short, you know?
Amen.
It's just one of those things that you have to know in His sovereignty is it's not based on what we do, but who He is that makes Him sovereign. And last week, family, we learned about the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, the omniscient God, and the omnibenevolent is part of His attributes as being God in His sovereignty. But you know, Pastor Gene, and after we got done with last week's show, you know, I kind of looked at it, how can we translate this, what we've been talking about, for everyday life? How can we take God being omnipotent, omnipresent, His omniscience, His omnibenevolent, and these other things in His sovereignty, how can we apply that to everyday life? Because when we fail to realize or refuse to let Him be sovereign, we actually turn away from Him. We actually are being what you could say rebellious. Wouldn't you say that, Pastor?
Yes, I agree. Because we really are ignorant of what it means. So I think we do that in part because we lack understanding.
Right. And you know, it's really something because as I was looking in the Word, you know, and I prayed about this, and I was getting, you know, trying to get a deeper understanding in the Word. And the Lord took me back to look at Israel and how often we see in the Word of God Israel moving away from God.
Yeah.
They were just, I mean, the minute they got delivered out of Egypt, they started what? Complaining and murmuring. I think that's what the Word says, complaining and murmuring. And they would see the hand of God, and then they would turn away. So they refused to, you know, acknowledge and accept his sovereignty. But there's one thing that I want you to get, family, when the main thing I want you to learn through all of this is God and his sovereignty. His sovereignty is based on relationship. He wants us, he wants so dearly to have a relationship with us that he is the sovereign God. He set parameters in place that we can maintain a relationship with him. See, because to really understand how sovereign he is, let me go to Psalms 24, and I'm going to read the very first verse. Psalms 24 and the very first verse. And it reads, I'm reading out of the King James, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Now, Pastor, I want to park here a minute because that says a lot. And I think it's a lot of saying in there just other than reading it the way it is verbatim, but there's a lot of significance for us in everyday life. You know, down here where the rubber meets the road, down here where the light bill is and the water bill is and all these other things that we deal with on a daily basis. Let's look at this verse a little closer. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." So when I read that to you, Pastor Gene, what reflection can you get from that verse in God's sovereignty dealing with your everyday life?
Well, if I may, I have the Passion Translation here. And it says, God claims the world as his. Mm. Everything and everyone belongs to him.
Mm.
He is the one who pushed back the oceans to let the dry ground appear, planting firm foundations for the earth. It says, "Who then ascends into the presence of the Lord?"
Mm.
"And who has the privilege of entering into God's holy place?" I'm going to stop right there, brother.
But sure.
Again, we're looking, you know, as you mentioned in the beginning, some of the things that God has given unto us or given us the privilege of using or partaking of, we have to do exactly that. We have to partake of them. We have to experience them in order for the understanding to come. So it's a willingness to yield our heart to the Lord and to know him in these places, to know him in his power. We have to be willing to experience him in the things that we're being challenged by day,
willing to know him.
His word also says that if we seek, if we knock, if we come to him and keep coming, then he will come. He will come into us. He will abide within us. So some of those things, we have to be willing to yield our will to the will of God,
yes,
to the Spirit of God, and experience those things for ourselves. Otherwise, how will that power, his power, be activated for us in our own personal situation? What God, the promises of God are individual promises as well as collective promises. Amen?
Amen.
So that means me as his child, I have the ability, I have the right to experience him one-on-one.
Mm.
Also as a part of the body of Christ, collectively.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So in our situations, if I want to partake of him in his sovereignty, then what I have to do is yield and choose him there.
Mm-hmm.
I have to purposely choose to know him in the situations that I'm challenged with, or not always challenged with, but just wanting to know him.
Wow.
Just point where I say, you know what, I know I might know the answer to this, or I might know how to deal with this situation, but you know what, God, I'm choosing to know you in all of your attributes. I want to know you in your sovereignty in this particular situation.
Wow.
Show me your ways. Show
wow.
me your ways. And I think that was part of the of why Israel was continuously being dealt with by the Lord, because in the Old Testament, because they strayed away from the Lord. They didn't want the restraint. They didn't want, I mean, in one part of Jeremiah, it says that they had as many gods as they had cities in Judea.
Wow.
So because they didn't desire to know him, they were always prone to wander. And wherever they were, you know, the curiosity was there of what they could get if they served other gods or if they commingled. And, I mean, at one point they had so many gods, they had one god that was called the unknown god. But I believe that, brothers, we have the tendency of doing the same thing. We have a tendency of being drawn to the creation instead of the creator. Amen. We sometimes have the tendency of praying to God so we can get the stuff, but once we get the stuff, we no longer have a need for God. So God has tolerated in his love and long suffering, he tolerated such things from us today also.
Amen. Amen.
So I think he's trying to, we're at the point where God is wanting to reintroduce himself to us so he can take us into another place in him of knowing him and experiencing him, where maybe in some places we've not known to because we were not taught to, or
right.
in other places because, you know, we just wanted to do whatever we wanted to do and we only wanted to bother God when we needed something from him.
Ouch.
But as far as having a relationship, we never desired that.
Ouch. That one hurt there. Amen. But you know what really, I guess, sets the precedence, sis, is when I read that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell with therein. You know, and as we're talking about a sovereign God, and just like you said, out of all of that, at the end of the day, his desire is to have a relationship with us. As powerful and mighty as he is, his desire is to have a relationship with his creation. And when you look at that, just like you said, and that's what really makes it that point even stronger, is we refuse to. We got this almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God that's desiring to have a relationship with us, but through sometimes our selfish or lustful gains, we choose not to. And that's a sobering thought when you think about it. And, you know, since another sobering thought is, you know, There are some people that will never choose to have a relationship with the sovereign God. You know, like you said, and I'm glad you pointed that out about Israel, because they rather make useless and powerless idols in their life than to place and know God in that sovereign position where they need him. And that's the thing that really touched me when you said that was, you know, out of all of this, he's desiring to have a relationship with us, but yet sometimes we'd rather make idols and serve idols rather than a sovereign God. Wow, that says a lot. That says a lot because
it does, brother. Because what from God's perspective, it's saying I've done all I can to show you how much I love you and long for you, but you would rather give your affection to something I created rather than the Creator. And so, you know, I'm sure that you know that would break his heart, because we constantly, you know, we're constantly choosing something that God blessed us with, you know, as a God, basically, because we doed all of our affection and our appreciation, creation, the thing that we've accomplished, or the things that we have, such as houses and cars and money or whatever, we're concentrating on maintaining and achieving those things. But wow, then we have the Creator of the universe standing there saying, but I'm the one that created those things. I'm the one that created you. And what I have for you is longevity to eternity, but you're choosing things that are temporal.
Amen. Amen. And it's so much flooding in me right now when you say that. And you know, because I love the way you brought that out and you said, you know, it breaks his heart because he's done all that he could do. All that he could do when man sinned against God, where he could not be in the presence of God, he provided a way that man could be back into his presence through the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and still reject his sovereignty in their life and still refuse to have a relationship. You know, that just wells up a lot of, I guess, emotion, spiritual emotion in me, sis, that, you know, as we look at this, and I hope it's touching somebody right now, you know, God, he just wants the best from us. Jesus just wants the best for you. But when you turn away and you decide to serve your job, to serve your house, to serve your car, more than you serve him, it can't help but to break his heart. It can't. And that's why I wanted to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. See, because he provided us a way that when we stand before him, we can be clean and forgiven. But let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2. And I'm not going to read for the sake of time. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I do encourage you to read it. I do encourage you to read it more than once. I do encourage you to read it and take notes, because there was some strong, strong things in here what God has said towards Israel about them and their turning away and what he's done for them, and they still turn to God. But before I get in, was there any one passage in this? I know you studied it, Pastor Gene. Was there any one passage in Jeremiah chapter 2 that stood out to you?
You know, brother, I just want the people to know that the Lord was talking to the people that he loved.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
These people have been taken into captivity because of the idolatry, because of mm-hmm. spiritual adultery because they continuously turned away from the Lord and they forgot all of the things that God had done for them, how he rescued them from Egypt, how he took care of them in the wilderness, and
yeah.
how he led them by his Spirit into the promised land and allowed them to come in and overtake and inhabit the land of its promise. So what we're seeing here, if we can begin to really set the stage, is a God who is really coming to his people through his prophet to contend with them. To really, you know, when I see what he's saying, using the prophet to speak here, it's really God sharing his heart with
Amen.
His people that are Amen. In captivity because they have forsaken him, saying, come to your senses. Can you not see what has happened here? Can you not see that this is the result of you forsaking me?
Right.
And he is still pleading with him. And so if we were set the stage, this is what we see. And so we're and that's one of the characteristics of God in his sovereignty. He has a heart for his people.
Yes,
he has
yes.
a heart for his creation. He didn't just put us here on the face of the earth and just leave us here to be plunder to the enemy and plunder to sin. That he has, and he's told us in Scripture, that he has a plan for us. He told us that in the book of Jeremiah. And then we come over to the New Testament, and he said, I didn't leave you helpless. I didn't leave you as fatherless children. Even though I'm going back to my kingdom, I'm sending you something that will keep you, that will allow you, that will cause you not only to just live this life, but be victorious in this life. So he has given us all of the things that we need, not only to survive, but also for us to enjoy this life. Amen?
Amen.
But he said, and if you feel like I haven't given you enough to live this life as overcomers, then all you have to do is ask me, and I will give unto you all that you need. Amen?
Amen.
But I think a lot of times I said before, we're ignorant because we've not been taught correctly. And that's a nice way of putting it. You know, we just have not been taught correctly. And I'm not saying something that I've observed. I'm saying something that I've lived. Because when I myself personally came to the Father and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there were things that I was not made aware of. And I mean, at this point in my life, I feel cheated. Because I felt like if someone had really sat me down and taught me the truth, there are a lot of things that I would not have had to struggle with. But I struggled because I was ignorant of God's ways. I struggled because I was ignorant of what God was in his sovereignty. I struggled because no one sat me down and instructed me on how to have a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior Christ where I could grow in him and I could yield to him. I continued to try to serve him, but doing it my way, trying to do it in my flesh. But so that's what I'm saying. I did it ignorantly because no one took hold of me to teach me the ways of God. I struggled for years not really knowing how much he loved me. A lot of times I felt like, well, I know he loves this person, and I know he loves that person because I can see him using them. But it didn't express to me that he loved me because no one taught me that. No one instructed me or directed me as to how I could know that he loved me and I was accepted by him and I was his child because I had my own personal issues, as many of us do, as all of us do when we come to the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So I want to explain that God rectified the situation for us,
mm-hmm.
that the children of Israel struggled with. Because
right.
we're the children of the promise.
Amen.
We've already entered into the promise. So
right.
the things that he promised to them, we now have access to. Amen? And
mm-hmm.
he proved that to us. And we know it's true. Those of us that are spirit-filled, those of us that have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we now know that that's his brand upon us. There's one interpretation says that when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, brother, it's like
mm-hmm.
an engagement ring.
Wow. 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 I like that. Yeah.
So he's made it possible for us to not have to travel through and go through the things that the children in the Old Testament had to struggle with. But what I'm seeing is the problem that we're having is that we've not been correctly instructed in so many areas. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we've tried to figure it out ourselves or, you know, we walk away wounded. But in spite of all of that, amen, we
mm-hmm.
still, God's grace and God's mercy is sufficient for us.
Amen.
We're still
amen.
Going to be without excuse.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we're under a better covenant now.
Glory.
So I just wanted to set the stage for Jeremiah.
No, that was great. That was great. That was great. That was great. And you know, that's when I've seen it when the Lord took me there and I was reading it. And, you know, that's one of the things that really touched me about it was you could hear the heart of God talking to the people.
Amen.
You could actually hear his feelings towards the people. And, you know, the thing that really ministered to me, and I'll get your response, but the thing that really ministered to me about this, sis, is if you really don't love or care about someone, they're not never going to hear your heart. If someone wrongs you that just say that you don't know, it's a difference than your husband or your children when they come against you and do wrong. They hear your heart. They hear the hurt. They hear the thoughts of what you're feeling at the time. But if Joe Blow walks up to you and says something to you, you might think it's strange and keep on going. So that just tells me how much God really loves us. Really
Amen.
Loves us. But go ahead, I'll let you finish your thought. I just wanted to interject that there.
Brother, I think I kind of expounded a lot there. So
oh.
I hope you can take it.
Amen. The thing that a couple scriptures in here stood out to me, sis, when I read it. The one that in Jeremiah 2:11, God was saying to the people, has a nation ever changed gods, even though they were not gods, but merely, you know, man-made objects? But he goes on to say, my people have exchanged their God for the true God, for a man-made idol which does not benefit them. And I just thought that was just really a point that hit home, you know, because a lot of times we may not go out and make an idol and set it on the mantle and walk by it and, you know, worship it in that manner. But how often do we let busyness knock us off where we don't worship like we used to, where we get so caught up in what's going on right now. We get so caught up in the bills and the thing, you know, different things that takes away from our worship, takes away from our relationship with Jesus. How oftentimes do we do that? Do our job get in the way? You know, our spouses may get in the way. Or other other, you know, things that we allow the busyness to engulf us, that gets in the way and takes it away from our relationship, which continues to move away from God. And another one that really touched me was Jeremiah 2 and 13, where God was saying, I'm reading out of King James, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And, you know, that really spoke to me that we rejected God, and we tried to formulate something that we can live with and call it worshiping God when it's not. We call it religion, but we've been carved out this religious, these works to call it worship and say that we are serving a sovereign God. Amen?
Amen.
But Jeremiah really, God used Jeremiah really to set the tone. And I'm glad you brought that out. That was really good, about how, you know, Jeremiah and Israel was in captivity. But the thing I want to talk about right now is, how do we tell, sis, if we've moved away? How do we tell if we're not recognizing God and His sovereignty in our lives? What is a telltale sign that somebody that don't know that can say, "Well, you know what? I thought I'd been doing everything right. I thought I had it all down pat." But how can they tell if they moved away from the sovereignty of God?
You know, for me, brother, it's just like any relationship. When we have a relationship with people, we can sense that something is wrong. We can sense that the closeness that we had, or when we enjoyed each other, we're missing that. And I think, you know, because God, that's what God wants. He wants a relationship. He wants a fellowship with us. And you know, when we look in the beginning of chapter 2, you hear the words of the Lord. He said, "I remember the devotion of your youth,
right.
How as spy you loved me and followed me through the wilderness.
Wow.
A land not sown." He says, "Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruit of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook him." So God is not speaking to a people that didn't know him. He's reminding them, "You used to love me when you were young, when you depended upon me, when you sought my faith. You loved me at one point. What happened here?" And then he says, what fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me?" First key, they strayed from him. They strayed. What causes us to stray from the Lord? Well, we're in close fellowship. Those of us that are saved, those of us that have walked with the Lord, we understand that it took praying. We understand that it took reading and meditating on the Word. That's how we fellowshiped with Him. That's how we had relationship with Him.
Amen.
But whenever something comes to interrupt that time, then, brother, it's very easy for us to take on other gods.
Wow.
Amen. And the Bible tells us that God is so bold that He says you cannot serve two gods.
That's right.
You will either love one and hate the other, but you cannot have two gods.
Amen. That's the word.
So that's what we see is happening here. You know, they were, you know, the scripture says that our hearts are prone to wonder. Our hearts are prone to wonder. It's another scripture that says we're like a camel in heat.
Wow.
So if we don't like to hear those scriptures, but it's words. It's
That's the word.
And it says that we're like a donkey in heat, that when she's in her season of heat, no male has to look for her.
Yes.
He doesn't even have to pursue her. Oh, my God. And that's, you know, that's what God compares us to. So
that's pretty
it's
bad.
It's important for us to what? Stay. The Lord says that we must stay united in the vine. We must stay close to him. We must consider him worth the knowing. You know, we even in the sovereignty of God, as I stated before, brother, there
mm-hmm.
has to be a willingness to say, you know what, God, I want to know your sovereignty in paying this bill. Father, I choose to know your sovereignty in this situation with my children or my husband or wife/wife, or I choose to know you in your sovereignty in my health, the situations I'm having with my health. If one of your nature in your sovereignty is that you have the power to create and to recreate, if in your sovereignty you're all-knowing, then that tells me that you knew this would happen before it happened. But because one of your character traits is power, healer, lover, deliverer, all of those things, this is not difficult for you. So I'm going to do something differently here than I've done before. I'm not going to beg you.
Come on.
I am not going to worry about it.
Come
but
on.
I am going to know you in your sovereignty in this situation. I choose to. And just wait and see what the Lord will do. Because I believe God wants to reveal himself to us in areas that we've never known him. And it hasn't been because he didn't want to manifest himself to us in those areas, but as the word is saying, we didn't want it. We chose religion. We chose the form of godliness. We chose to worship man. We chose to worship the pulpit. We chose to worship the ministry. We chose to worship the creation and not the creator. But now God is coming back around again in his love and in his grace and in his mercy, saying, I'm here again.
Yes,
I'm giving you another chance to know me.
Yes.
In areas that you've never known me before.
Amen. And you know that, man, that was right to the point. And you're right. There is some strong words in the word that we don't want to hear about us, but it's the word. It's true. I mean, we can't deny it. We can't run from it. You know, but I love the way you brought out the fact that how we know a lot of times we're moving away or not recognizing the sovereignty of God is we're not content. We're not content. And I'm glad you brought that out. You know, we don't stand in a place of being content. And when we're uncontent, that just leaves us searching and looking for something that makes us content. And it ain't worshiping the master. It ain't worshiping some of these other things. I am going to read this scripture real quick, family. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to read 6 through 11. And I'm reading out of the King James. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some covet after they have erred from their faith and pierced themselves through with many marvels. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And, you know, the reason I brought that out, sis, was this, you know, is Once you really understand the sovereignty of God, as we've been talking about, and to the full extent, or at least to an extent, where God is showing you everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all everywhere at once. He is love. And knowing this, that He is over everything. He created everything, and everything belongs to Him. And you hit it right on the head. How often do we honor God with what we have? Or how often do we ask God to be sovereign in the place that we need Him? Rather than to be like spoiled kids sometimes and say, "Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me." You know, to understand His sovereignty, and I think that contentment has a lot to do with it, because, you know, everybody wants the next big house, you know, the next newest car, the next newest phone. And when we get in that attitude, sis, it takes us away from being content to know that God is sovereign, and He is over everything, and He's going to do everything in His timing. And that's one way that the Lord was ministering to me about, you know, being content. But see, you know, the sad part to all of this, sis, is the church is preaching against this. They're preaching against it. They're building this. And, you know, we've seen doctrines where, you know, where they, you know, they're preaching against being content in the Lord, because now they want you to go out and name it and claim it. You know, go out and grab that, to lay hands on that house, on that car, and say, claim what? It for yourself. And it's yours, and this and that. But really, family, once you understand how sovereign, and I'm just speaking from this is just a testimony. Once you start to understand sovereign God, what you have right in front of you, and what He's provided with you for in this season, right where you are, it's enough. It's enough. Write what you have right now. And a lot of times, God wants to show us right where we are and what we have before He takes us somewhere else. And think about it. It's just like our children. You know, you go out. I've spent many Christmases spending many hundreds and hundreds of dollars buying gifts that they don't appreciate. And then they turn around and have the audacity the next week to want something just, you know, something else, just as expensive as the stuff that I bought, just because it came out. That's what I'm trying to get at, family, is we have to get out of that mentality, or you will never, never be able to see a sovereign God in working in your life. Well, family, we've been on a little bit. We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We gave you a lot to think about. Don't go nowhere. We will be right back, and we're going to get into this thing a little deeper, the sovereignty of God.
This is God's Journey Child, Fedor Chestnut, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go.
God, we believe, yes, we can see that wonders are still what You do, and bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain, 'cause God, we believe, yes, we can see wonders are still. We are here for You, coming to work You do.
stop. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh, sing miracles.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. This is the move. Oh, this is the move. This is the move.
Watching? What are you watching?
The scene.
Why are you watching that?
The scene.
Don't let this world
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go.
It is now time for Brother Don Presents and Pastor Gene Homer.
Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody.
Amen. Welcome back, family. Welcome back. We just had a break here. We put a lot on the plate there. We knew it was a lot to take in all at once. So we just took a little break to let you kind of let that soak in your spirit and let the Holy Ghost work with it and minister some of the things that we've been talking about. God and his sovereignty and a sovereign God and the things that we can do and we should do to understand him being sovereign in our lives. And how, you know, the nation of Israel in the past, in history, when they turned away from the Lord, how it affected them. So, Pastor, I was just sitting there on the break, and I wanted to put this out on the table. What are the dangers of not recognizing God and his sovereignty in your life? What were some of the dangers that you could share with the family about that?
Amen, brother. You know, God has given us all good things, as I stated before, in order for us to be overcomers in this life. And listen to this, brother. When he blew the breath of life into each and every one of us,
right,
and he called us forth,
mm-hmm.
he had a plan for us. He did not just randomly call people forth without having any pre-thought to it or given any consideration to when they would be born, who their parents would be, where they would be born, what they would be. He also put a gift there within them, meaning that there was something that they were supposed to specifically do while as they journeyed on the face of the earth.
God
knew everything about each and every person that has walked the face of this earth. Think about that now. That's him in his sovereignty.
Amen.
No one was born or lived or died that God did not know of.
Wow.
He knew of those people, whether they died as enemies of God or children of God. Amen. That's him in his sovereignty. That's what makes him sovereign. The word of God says that he knows how many hairs are on my head right now. Not only my head, but your head and every head that's on the face of the earth.
Amen.
God knows us that personally. And in his sovereignty, he says, so why are you worried about tomorrow? The same God that created and predestined and called you forth knows how many hairs are on your head at this given moment. And you know what, brother? Even if we wanted to count them, I don't believe that we would have the ability to be able to count the hairs on our head before one or two fail. Amen?
Amen.
But God is accurate in what he knows about us. And he goes on and says, look at the lilies in the field. Amen.
Look at
the birds in the air. They don't even worry about what they're going to eat, where it's going to come from, because God provides for them. That's right. A sovereign God that provides yes. for everything that he has created. And he sustains, and that's the definition of him, that he is God all by himself, that he created
Amen.
All things. He sustains all things. That means he keeps it going. Nothing happens without him being aware of it. It doesn't matter if it's the devil in hell. It doesn't matter if it's us on earth or what's going on in heaven. God is holding it all together, brother. Amen?
Amen.
So now let's look at that for a moment. If he's mm-hmm. able to do all of that, amen, then
amen.
Stupid sense would tell me he can take care of the things that pertain to me.
That's true.
Amen?
Amen.
That there is nothing that I have to encounter or endure that's too difficult for God.
Amen.
Being that he's all sovereign. Amen.
Amen.
Okay? He's proven his power to us. Amen. He's proven
mm-hmm.
his love to us. Amen. He's proving continuously because he wakes us up every morning with sense in our head enough to say,
mm-hmm.
breathe,
mm-hmm.
get off now and walk and move.
Mm.
I mean, you know, he's proven himself to us over and over and over that he's mindful of us,
mm.
that he's concerned for us, amen, that
amen.
He loves us, that he has a plan for us. So
right.
so now having the knowledge of all of that, brother,
mm-hmm.
and we attempt to live this life without considering him, then what do you think are some of the things that we will have to fight against, knowing
mm-hmm.
that we have an adversary, amen?
Amen.
That is waiting to pounce up on us at any time. What are the odds that we're going to live this life overcoming or victoriously if we try to live outside of all of the things that our sovereign God has created for us to live within?
Wow. Wow. Wow.
You know, the thing that God has been teaching me as I've been studying about his sovereignty, he said there are so many people that are saying, God, I want more. I want more. I know you called me to do this, and I know you called me to do great things, and I want to do those things so badly for you. But then are we willing to learn him and his sovereignty? Because a lot of those things are hidden in the intimacy with God.
That's right.
You girl.
That is that. That's right. Amen. Amen.
So we want to stand on the outside and do these great things, but these great things can only manifest out of that place that you know him and his sovereignty.
Amen. Amen.
I hope that answered what you asked. I mean, it's
kind yeah. of- yeah, that was no, that was good. That was good because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we look back and we say, and I'll take this for instance. You know, how many times have you heard people mention or say, you know, I wonder why America or the world is in such bad shape. I wonder why America is in the state that it's in right now, you know, with all the hatred and all that going on. And you know, and a lot of it has to do, sis, exactly what you're talking about. You know, we don't recognize and we've moved away to, we don't acknowledge God and his sovereignty. If you want to make it plain, we don't acknowledge it. And how do we not acknowledge it? Through our disobedience. Think about what you just said. There's a God that even knows the number of hairs on your head, my head, everybody's head. A God that knows everybody that has ever lived and died. How could you not acknowledge him as being sovereign? How can you not acknowledge him as ruler of all things? And the only way that we can do it is be obedient to his word. And that means we reverence because, you know, I was getting to the point where I was going to bring out Proverbs 9 and 10. When I read that after reading and learning about the sovereignty of God, it took on a whole new meaning, sis. A whole new meaning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding.
Amen.
Now, we know that fear is reverence, but once you understanding a sovereign God in working and active in your life, once you acknowledge him as being sovereign, that scripture takes on a whole new meaning. It did for me, because that the wisdom that I'm to display is that he is sovereign in my life.
He is sovereign.
See, and what we see with America and the world, and if I don't acknowledge him as being sovereign through my obedience, that puts me into a place of disobedience. And what we know is, I want to pull up the definition here. What we know, prolonged disobedience leads to apostasy. And the definition is the abandonment or renunciation of a religious or political belief. Now, that's really heavy when you think about it. That's strong. You abandon a sovereign God. You abandon the creator of all. You abandon the very one that holds your life in his hand. You've abandoned him. And, you know, those are some of the things that we have to think about. Those are some of the things we have to think about. And you brought up another great point that I want to touch on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I'm glad that he's working is we all have a purpose. You aren't just created to be Gene Homer. I wasn't created to be Donald Pertle. You know, we were created with a purpose in mind. And if you don't recognize him, and I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:20-21, family. And I'm reading then again out of the King James. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, but ye reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of him." Now, if you don't accept him as being a sovereign God, sis, how can you be an ambassador for him?
Really?
How can you think about what an ambassador is? An ambassador is one that goes in the authority of the one that sent him.
Mm-hmm.
We were called to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. We were called to spread the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to all nations. So if we don't acknowledge him and let him be sovereign in our life, how effective as ambassadors can we be?
Amen. We're ineffective. Amen.
Ineffective. And so what do we see the state of people in?
What?
They don't want to accept the sovereign God over their life. They want to do their own thing. They want to live by their own rules. And therefore, God's not going to tolerate that in his sovereignty. Because in his sovereignty, he still is holy. And him being holy, there's some things that he is not going to accept. And we made that plain and clear. There's two things God cannot do. One is lie, and the next is be second. So if he's going to be second, then he's not sovereign in your life. You have to put him above all things. And I think there was a scripture we had covered in one of our teachings, sis, where it says, if you love your mother, your father, your husband, your children more than me, then you're not worthy to be my disciple.
Amen.
He can't be second. He's not worthy to be second. In his sovereignty, he, you know, I can say this, but, and with all, you know, it's not something I've seen in the word, but I can say this, with all that he has done for you and all that who he is, he deserves to be first, period. That's what makes him sovereign, is that we can put him first all the time. See, the thing is, And why Jeremiah 2 is so strong, family, is it's not really a place where, you know, like my sister said, Israel was in captivity, but it's not a place where God was just cutting Israel off. He was letting Israel know how he felt. Because despite all, every time Israel went in captivity, Israel, Judah, God still let them prosper. God still took care of them. He still overseeing their everyday needs, even though they turned their back in disobedience against him. He still made sure they was all right. That's because he's sovereign, and part of his sovereignty is him being loving, not only all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and all, you know, he's all-loving as well. So I just wanted to throw that out there, family. If you wonder why things are in the shape that they're in, like in America or the world, or maybe even in your life right now, why you don't think maybe, you know, you say, Pastor Gene, Brother Don, I just can't get it together. It seems like I take two steps forward or one step forward and two steps back. Well, what we're telling you here today is you got to check the order in what you're doing things. God has to be first because he's sovereign. And if you allow him to be sovereign in those areas, and it's nothing wrong, just like I love the way my sister brought it out, Lord, I want to see your sovereignty in paying this light bill. I want to see your sovereignty in providing dinner for us. He's going to do it. He's going to do it because he is a sovereign God. So, and that's the thing that I'm taking away from this lesson, family, as we dig into it, is I learned to let him be sovereign in every area of my life, in my marriage, on my job, with my children, with my relationships, family, friends, and otherwise. I've learned to let him be sovereign in those areas. Let him be God. I get out the way and let him be God, because he can do God way better than I can. He can be God way better than I can, because I will mess it up. I know I've done it in the past. I will mess it up. Give a chance, I'll mess it up. So, family, what we want to tell you tonight as you listen to the program is God is so awesome, and he wants to be sovereign in your life. He wants you to know him as a sovereign God. He wants that relationship with you that you can know him as Father, that you can know him as Deliverer, that you can know him as Savior. So always remember that it's about, at the end of the day, it's about him wanting a relationship with you. My sister put it out there eloquently that, you know, as big and powerful as he is, he still desires a relationship with us. Amen? Well, yeah. Sis, you got anything you want to put on top of that before we get out of here?
Yeah, I do. I believe that at this point that we must know. We have no choice but to begin to know God in his sovereignty.
Amen.
And, because amen. Of the world is in, amen, and things are
amen.
Happening. And, I mean, we anyone that follows the news, you know that there are situations that man just does not have the remedy for.
That's right. That's right.
You know, those are the perfect things. Those are the situations that are perfect for us to know the sovereignty of God. Amen?
Amen.
Because
amen.
We come to the place where we're at the end of ourselves as far as the government is concerned, as far as any other situation that's going on. It's all failing. And now it's going to take the sovereignty of God to come in and show and make believers out of us that God is the creator. Amen.
It says
here that God is the creator. He is God alone. He is the Most High God of heaven and earth, controlling and sustaining that which he created according to his will in heaven and on earth. That he also has an angelic army at his command in heaven, and inhabitants on the earth which acknowledge him as no one can stop his hand. He is all-powerful. He is the owner of and creator of all things. And all things work together according to
His plan, and
Amen.
No one stop or even delay if it is not His will. No one can defeat His plans, prevent His purpose, or resist His will. And
Amen.
That is where I am learning to know Him. The word says that even before I think a thought, He already knows it. That's sovereignty, brother. That is sovereignty. Even before I think a thought, He already knew it.
Amen.
That personally is what makes Him sovereign. Amen.
Amen.
The fact that He has an angelic army. Amen. And that army is there to assist little bitty little old me and you, the objects of God's affection, to the point that He posts these angels. They are assigned to us to help us down here to figure it all out, to fight for us, to stand beside us. And as soon as we cry out or turn to the Lord, they are released to go before us.
Wow.
That's what makes Him sovereign. We must settle in our hearts to know Him in those degrees. Those degrees, brother. Amen.
Amen.
But if we do not understand our Creator in His sovereignty, how about they're just standing there because we're not giving them anything to work with?
Woo! That's powerful there. That's strong.
That's Him in His sovereignty.
Woo! That is strong.
I mean, half of the time, I'm sorry to say this, we can't even get the police to come. But God has posted angelic warriors to watch over us, brother.
Amen.
Now, if that is not some kind of sovereignty, I don't know what is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If we see something in our hearts, and listen, this is what I found out. Even if there's no desire in Him to know Him to that degree, if I come to Him and acknowledge that, Him and His sovereignty can cause it to be so.
Yes.
Now that's sovereignty. Amen.
That is sovereign. Amen. Hallelujah.
So it's a win-win situation if we would just come to Him, draw nigh unto Him. Amen.
Amen.
And say, God, I want to know You there. I know so little about You, but yet I'm hearing tonight with my natural ears there is so much to know about You.
Right.
So, Father God, You are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. So, Father God, I ask You to come into my heart and reveal Yourself to me to that degree. Amen.
Amen.
So He can do that.
Yes. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Amen. Powerful, powerful, strong words, sis. I love it. I love it. Well, family, we've run the end of our course here for this show. We thank you for tuning in. Just a reminder, TPB is undergoing some construction, so we will be out of commission next week. So if you happen to tune in and you get dead air, just know that we're under construction and God is building and doing something. When we get back with you, it's going to blow your socks right off. But I want to take this time, really, and before we get out of here, and the Lord has been challenging my heart with this, because me and my sister come on and we minister to you, but, you know, sometimes we take for granted that everybody is saved, that everybody's accepted Jesus. And if you're listening right now and you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, Romans 10:9-10 says, "For the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." For thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 10, For the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, everything that we're talking and we're teaching and we're ministering here comes from a place of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because without him, none of this is possible. Without him, none of this will make sense. So I encourage you to get into a place and accept him in your heart. Accept him as you tell him, Lord, I need a Savior. I can't continue on like this. Please save me. Or maybe you be in a place where you've been in church and you've been out of church and you just saying, Lord, just say right now where you're at, Lord, I want to recommit my life to you right now. And he's faithful and he'll do it. And then, as we always say, pick up your word, start reading it. Start, just don't come to Brother Don and Presents with Pastor Gene to get your fix. Get it yourself. Get the word. Start reading it. Take notes. These scriptures that we're putting out here, go back and read them. Take notes over them, like Jeremiah 2. Awesome, awesome, awesome reading. But that's all I got. And family, like I said, TPB is under construction, and we will be down for next week, but we'll be back and strong in March. There'll be Brother Don Presents 2.0. So we look to see you there in the next show in March. And we love you, and we just pray continually God keeps you. And we thank you for choosing us this day to tune in and listen to the word of God. We just thank you for being here, and we'll look to see you next time. So family, Brother Don, Pastor Gene, God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
Up to the highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody.
That's right, family and friends. It is the hottest radio network on the planet. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network has an all-star lineup just for you. TPB Reloaded, Sunday at 4 p.m., Wednesday and Friday at 11 a.m. The Caribbean Pepper Pot, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. The Grub, Monday at 12 p.m. Brother Don Presents, Saturday at 4 p.m. Man, Let's Pop at 6 p.m. every first Monday of the month. It is the Love Potion at 8 p.m. every second and fourth Thursday. TPB Wired Up, first and third Saturday at 8 p.m. TPB Presents by appointment only. You can also catch us on KBRG The Bridge or download Live 365. Walk with us. Let's go.
What's good, radio family? It's your boy, The Psalmist Voice, and you are listening to KBRG The Bridge. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to The Psalmist Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go!